2020 has really been a year, hasn't it? I don't know that I could have made it if I hadn't really believed in the verse from 1 Thessalonians that says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you." I want to go through some of my trials and things I have to be thankful for about from the year 2020. First of all, in March, Rich and Monica had another baby girl, Nova, and we were blessed to be able to be there for a whole week, holding her, loving on her, also Athena, their first girl, and them. And it was such a blessing. When we got home, boom, that's when COVID hit, or really it already hit, but that's when the lockdowns came. So I'm really grateful that we had that time before, that we could go and spend all that time with her, because we didn't see that family, Rich's family, again for a while. Then the next thing that came to me was, with the lockdowns and the restrictions, I wasn't going to Abilene anymore. And since I went back to teaching 15 years ago, I had promised Mom that I would come every week and visit. She was a little nervous when I went back to teaching that we wouldn't see each other anymore, because I was in the habit of going over there quite a lot and spending days. So I promised her I'd come every week. No, every month. But with COVID, I can't do that. But you know what? Here comes Zoom. So now we Zoom, Mom and me and my sisters, my two sisters and my two daughters, every Sunday. And that's been such a blessing, something to be so thankful for, that now we get to see each other once a week and share what's been going on with our lives. So I'm really thankful for Zoom and for that time I have with my family. Then in June, Sarah has her second baby. And she's here in Texas, Austin, not New York, so I can drive down and see her. And even though I don't get to be in the room with her like I was when Hallie was born, we still get to spend several days with them, holding that baby, playing with Hallie, and seeing Rich and Brad. So I'm very thankful for that time we had then. Then in August, here starts school. Now, if you're friends with school teachers, you know that this has been such a challenging year. I don't know what it is really, but I come home so exhausted every day. I'm thankful for Arlington ISD and that they have a commitment that all kids get equal access to learning. So we don't make up two sets of lesson plans. We have one set that we give to the kids who are on campus and to the kids who are at home. They've made sure that every kid has the right technology. But it's just so hard making these lesson plans that have to be delivered through the computer that will engage the kids at home, which I have several that are home alone. And what 9 or 10 year old that's home alone is going to get on the computer and do schoolwork instead of get on the computer and watch YouTube and do video games? You know, that's just not happening. But that will also engage my students who are at school with me. It's been difficult, and the time it takes to make these lesson plans, I don't know. And maybe it's also just the having to make sure everything is sanitized and we're 6 feet apart and we're all wearing masks and all that, and breathing your own air all day long. But it's hard. It's really hard. But I am so thankful for my class this year. I got moved last year from third grade up to fourth grade, but with my same class. So I have the same kids I had last year. And we have really had a good year together. The first part of the year, if you're a teacher or teacher friend, you know this. You go through your discipline and we sign respect agreements, how we're gonna all respect each other. And really after that, that's been it for me as far as having to focus on discipline. Because the kids, I don't know, we just get along so good together. We love each other, we respect each other, we help each other. And I have not had any discipline issues this year. Where in the past I come home, fill Olin's ear full of stories of this problem or that problem I've had with students. But this year, that has not been the case. We've had a good year. And so I'm so thankful for my class. Okay, then here comes around Thanksgiving. And you know, COVID is going strong and we're not really supposed to be together, but no one has met Nova except for Olin and me when we met her when she was born. I mean, nobody's met her, the rest of my family. And this is Sarah's first time to be home for Thanksgiving since she moved to New York. And so Rich, my lawyer son, drew up a contract for us all to sign about COVID protocols. And if we would quarantine for 14 days, if we would take a test, then we could, whoever would agree, and there was other things in there, but whoever would agree could come to Arlington and we would have Thanksgiving. He also made this big spreadsheet of how people would cook and people would clean. So we would all help. And so we signed the contract, we all agreed, and people came, the kids came, and it was a great Thanksgiving. We saw that we had four little grandkids running around here, loving on each other. We saw Sarah and Brad got to meet Nova. It was a good time. And I was so thankful for that time. So they decided, let's do it again for Christmas. And although, you know, I wasn't looking forward to shoving that COVID test up my nose, it was so worth it to have my kids around. And so we decided to do it again for Christmas with the protocols on the contract and the spreadsheet. Now, in the meantime, Casey had called and talked to me about making the bread. Because homemade bread is something that's been passed down from my grandmother that I've taken up. Some of you have had the bread. I've brought it to church before. But it makes these five loaves of bread. And we start making it around Thanksgiving and we make it through the spring. And we share it with the kids and with my siblings. And it's a big family tradition. So Casey said, Mom, when are you going to start making the bread? And I told her, honey, I'm just so tired from school every day. I do not see bread in my future. Well, a few days later, here she comes with two loaves of bread for me. She and Olin had cooked up this plan for her to come over and use the kitchen. Because we don't really associate with them because of COVID. So we see them in the driveway, but they don't come over and we don't hang out together. She and Olin had figured out a way for her to come and use my mixer, and because it's big, you need a big mixer to make these five loaves of bread. So anyway, she made bread. Well, it didn't taste quite right. So we talked about it. So she made another batch and she's sending it home to Abilene for my parents and my siblings. She's sharing it with me. Her family's just devouring it. So she makes another batch. It's still not quite right. So I say, well, you know, we get out of school on Thursday afternoon. Why don't you come over Friday and we'll make a batch together. We'll mask up. We'll be in, like, I'll be in the kitchen. You can be in the dining room watching. And we'll make bread together. We'll figure out what it is that you're doing wrong. So we did that, and she found out there were some things that, you know, when you read a recipe, it's not just quite the same as seeing somebody actually make it, especially things like bread. And so we did that, and the bread turned out great, and we were all so excited about that. And then on Sunday, Landon starts feeling bad with COVID. He's getting COVID symptoms. So he goes and takes a test Monday morning. Then Monday night, Casey calls me bawling, Mom, I've got COVID. I started couldn't breathe, and I went and took a rapid test, and I've got COVID. And I'm so sorry I exposed you and Dad to COVID making that bread. So then I have to call Rich and Sarah, put them on a FaceTime call, a three-way, which another thing I'm thankful for, that they've come out with that technology that we can all Zoom together, not only Zoom together, but we can FaceTime all at the same time. And tell him Casey's tested positive. So one of the ramifications of that is no Christmas for us. Because they can't come because I've been exposed. And, you know, all their presents. Another thing I'm thankful for is we can shop over Amazon and other websites. And all their presents were shipped here. We have a dining room full of boxes waiting for them to get here, for them to unpack and wrap, to share with, so that we can share with each other. But with this, now they can't come. And they've been in this quarantine, and they put their little girls through the nose test, and they've given up things to be here. And so, you know, it's me, it's my fault. I didn't follow the protocols. And they're kind of upset with me. And I'm just feeling so bad that I've ruined Christmas for everybody. And at the beginning of this week, I'm thinking, I'm knowing I'm going to say this little, do this little video. And I'm thinking, what am I going to say with this? How can I be thankful in this situation? And at first I wasn't. But there's been a few days go by. Olin and I won't get tested. We haven't heard yet. We've quarantined ourselves in our house away from each other. This is my bed back here behind me. I've been in this bed since Monday, or in this bedroom since Monday. He's been in Rich's old bedroom. And it's been hard, but I'm thankful. I haven't had any symptoms. I don't think I have COVID. He hasn't had symptoms. We don't think he's had COVID. Landon's over it. Elijah got sick for maybe a day. Casey's still having a few issues, but you know, she's not in the hospital. She's gonna make it out of it. And so I'm thankful. And I think Casey's really thankful for us, because since her family's all had it, somehow Elizabeth doesn't seem to have had it, but maybe she's anti-symptomatic. They've had tests, and we'll see. Now they're happy, they're gonna go back to church, because they haven't been to church because they're afraid for Landon to get it. And then, so then he can't work, and his being an assistant principal, he just doesn't want to put his staff through that. Anyway, I'm finding things to be thankful. In all circumstances, give thanks. So even though 2020 has been a hard year, there's been lots of things to be thankful for. I trust God. I know He loves me. And He continues to bless me. May God, and I know He will, continue to bless you.
Thank you, Sally, for sharing with us. And now we have another video presentation from Bob on three. Well, welcome, Bob. One, two, three. Welcome, Bob.
Good morning. It's Sunday morning where you're sitting, but where I'm sitting, it's Christmas Day, and Mary Beth and I are in Oklahoma. We're visiting with her family, enjoying the holidays, and I hope you've had a good holiday season as well, as we get ready to go back to work, many of us, tomorrow. It's been a crazy Christmas, hasn't it? But 2020, it's been a crazy year. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to kind of look back over the year and think about just, I guess, a perspective maybe that would be helpful for us looking back, but then also moving forward. 2020. I mean, so many bad jokes are out about 2020. And I thought about just having a bunch of those, but I thought, no, you've looked them up yourself. So we're going to cut straight to the point. And the point is, man, there was so much loss in 2020. But you know, in the midst of all that, God was still God. And you know, like it says in Romans, He's always working for you. He's always working for me. God is at work, even in times when it seems like all there is loss. For me, just this last week, about a week and a half ago, the neighbor who lives right across the street from my parents, a man my age, a teacher at Abilene Christian University, passed away from COVID. It was devastating. He was a healthy man. And so much loss. So much loss. And yet, God is still God, and God is still at work. You know, I'm a football coach, and I remind you of that every other Sunday, probably. It seems, but as I coached football, we always wanted to win, of course, but we lost every once in a while. And we'd always want to say, well, what did we learn from that loss? And I hated this saying that, you know, I hated sayings about losing and learning from it. Because I thought, man, why do you got to lose to learn? Couldn't we just win and learn the same lessons? But probably not. And that's kind of how this is going to go today. We're going to talk about some of the things we learn, or maybe some of the experiences we have that are helpful and important while we're in the middle of a losing year. And I would say that 2020 is a losing year. We've had bad years before, though. This is not the first bad year in the history of the world, or in the history of America, or in the history of you, probably. I can remember documentation. I've got documentation of my worst year up to now. And that was my eighth grade year. It was 1966, 67, and my family moved to Seoul, Korea. My dad was in the Army, as you know, and we moved to Seoul, Korea, and we lived out on what we called out in on the economy. You could go to, in that time, you could go two ways. You could either go your normal tour of duty, 3 years, and then your family got to stay on the base and all the opportunities and privileges of staying on the base, or you could go hardship, and Dad and Mom decided we'd go hardship. That meant we'd live out in Seoul, Korea, not on the base, not having those privileges. And in those days, Korea was a third world country, and I've told stories about Seoul before, living in Seoul, but really, in a way, we were quarantined. Because we were right in the middle of a neighborhood where no one spoke English for miles and miles and miles. And the people around us, there were a few people that were middle class, very few, but most of them were really, really poor. I've talked to you about the cardboard house we walked by on our way to school. But mostly it was this feeling of we were all by ourselves. And it was me, my mom, and my three sisters for the week, and my dad would come home only on weekends. And that's rough. Especially, you know, you're a kid, boy, you're getting ready to go into eighth grade, and you're excited about life, and now that you're living in the projects in Seoul, Korea. And the way this is documented, when I was born in January 1953, my mom started sending out Christmas cards with pictures in that December. And so she's got 67 years of Christmas card pictures, starting with just me. A few years later, my sister Sally came along, and then my sister Becky, and then my sister Patty. And, you know, you get the idea. And as we went, man, they were great pictures. And you can see the family just grow, and we're a happy group, except for that year we sent a picture home from Seoul, Korea. It looked like, no kidding, it looked like six of us. My mom, my dad, and my four sisters were all lined up in a line, and it looks like we are prisoners of war. I mean, the look on our face, it was all just glum. And you know, Sally, she can get a sad face pretty quick. But me and my dad, we struggled with that. But even Dad was just like despondent, because we were in the middle of the worst year ever. You know what, though? Not right away. Not even a year later. Not even 2 or 3 years later. But several years later, I began to look back on that experience in eighth grade in Seoul, Korea, as maybe the most important year of my life. It wasn't the best year, but it was so important because several things happened there. One is our family got really, really close because we were around each other all the time. And of course, as I've mentioned, sometimes my sisters annoyed me, but there was a closeness that was even stronger than the annoying factor. And there was also just we took for granted so many things living in the United States. So as we lived in this third world country and saw how much of the world lived, we began to not take things for granted, like running water, because we didn't have running water. We got water delivered twice a week. We'd fill the bathtubs up, And we'd take a bath in the same water all week long. And the order of bathing went like this. My sisters went first. I went last. I was the boy. I went last. I don't know. I don't understand that completely why it went that way. But nevertheless, I got the dirty bath water. And we just came to appreciate so many different things about America. So many different things about our family. So many things about our church. And so many things really came into perspective that really helped me. It was a very important year in my life, even though at the time I hated it. I hated it. I really did. And so maybe we can look back at 2020 that way. I'm not going to say it's the best year ever. Maybe never. I'm going to say it's the best year. But important, maybe so. Last year at this time, it was Christmas, and of course, and we were getting ready for a series on the Sermon on the Mount. We were all excited about it. I was pumped up about it. We had no idea that COVID was coming. And of course, COVID's not the only rough thing about 2020, but we had no idea what was getting ready to come, and we were all excited. Well, I want to tell you what, even though COVID's still here, there is a vaccine. And I'm excited about that. But I'm also excited about the series that's going to begin next month called In the Beginning. And we're going to tour through the book of Genesis. And I'm really excited. Jeremy and I have talked about it a little bit. And we're really excited about what's coming up. It's going to be a series about life lessons that we get from the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis teaching us really how to live. It's the Torah. It's the way. It's the instructions. And so we're really excited about that. And that's coming. But today I want to read from James chapter 1. And I mean, we've been reading James chapter 1 and Philippians 4 and anything about suffering, but, you know, be happy anyway kind of thing for several months, it seems like. So we probably read James 1 a couple of times, and other places you've been have read it also, but we're going to read a few verses from James 1 and then make some applications. So, verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And I want to say, bull, no, how do you do that? Pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know, and I'm speaking to that eighth grader in Seoul, Korea. You know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You're going to grow. When you're going through tough times, you're going to grow. Trials make you stronger. Especially they make your faith stronger. It says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Man, that's where I want to go. And I've been immature most of my life, but I want to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is what trials do for you. You learn stuff from reading the Bible. You learn stuff from praying. You grow in that way, but you grow to be a complete Christian when you go through trials of many kinds. And man, we've gone through many kinds of trials. It's not just about COVID, but we had many other trials. I'll talk about that in just a minute. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, yeah, that'd be us, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. God knows we're made of dust. He doesn't find fault when you ask him a question. When you say, I don't understand, he doesn't mock you. He gives you what you need. So when you ask, it says, You must believe and not doubt, because one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Those who doubt should not think they'll receive anything from the Lord. They are double-minded and unstable in all they do. I want to talk about this idea of being double-minded and unstable. And I want to use the term double-minded and jump back to Psalm 86, and there's several other places in the New Testament and Old Testament who use these words together. As a matter of fact, James does over in James chapter 4. But the psalmist in Psalm 86 says this, teach me your way, Lord. That's what James is saying. If you lack wisdom, ask for it. Let God show you the way. The psalmist says, teach me your way, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I want to have an undivided heart as I'm seeking what God wants me to do. God has a plan. He has a path laid out for me. And in that plan, in that path, for me to be on that path requires an undivided heart, that I'm not double-minded, that I don't have two gods in my heart. I don't have two paths. I want to talk about what are some ways we're double-minded. The idea of double-mindedness means this. It means that I trust not just God, but maybe I also trust myself a little bit, or someone else, or some other thing, some other way besides God's way. And I find myself doing this a lot. And 2020, the year 2020, has taught me a lot about how double-minded I am. It's kind of exposed me in some ways. Here's the thing about being double-minded. One of the ways I'm double-minded, instead of trusting in God, I'll trust often in my own ability. And when my own ability fails me, I begin to panic. And I know I'm not trusting God. So, for instance, I'm a healthy person. I eat healthy. I work out. I'm a healthy person. A few weeks ago, you all know, I got COVID. All of a sudden, I couldn't work out my way past that. I couldn't eat good food to get past that. I had COVID, and I couldn't do anything about it. I had to trust God. Sometimes I also trust my mind, because I think I'm pretty smart. I think most of y'all are pretty smart too. And I think I'm pretty smart most of the time, so usually I can think my way out of a situation. There wasn't no thinking my way out of COVID. I had it, and it wasn't up to me what happened next. I had to trust God. So much of the time, I'm relying on myself, and I have an undivided heart. I trust God, but I trust me first. Usually, I'm only going to trust God when all else fails, I'll turn to God. That is having a divided heart. It is being double-minded. Now, I'm going to reach up here and push close because my battery is low. That happens sometimes when you're recording yourself off your phone. So another way that I found myself having a divided heart is that, man, my country let me down. I'm disappointed in America. I love being an American. I think it's a great privilege to be an American. I think God had a purpose in mind when I was born in San Saba, Texas. He put me there, I believe. But I can't trust in my country like I need to trust in God. And so my country's let me down. Man, the economy has let me down. I'm scared to death. The economy's going to crash, and then what's going to happen to me? Because I trust the economy, and I trust our political system. And didn't it just go crazy this year? Can you trust? I trusted so much about our country, and I love our country, but I can't put our country on the pedestal where only God belongs. I'd have to trust God. I can't be a double-minded person that puts my country where only God should be, on the throne of my heart. You know what? Another thing, my family. Man, I trust my family. I love my family. There's nothing I trust more than my family. And in saying that, I need to trust God more than my family, because my family, I love them, but they can't do for me what only God can do. A lot of times I call on my family. I depend on my family to kind of fix things, my parents especially. Now my dad's 91 and my mom's turned 90 on this Sunday, and they can't fix the things it seemed like they used to could fix in my life. Me as a dad and as a husband, a lot of times I feel inadequate for the problems that are in front of me. And the reason I feel inadequate is because I am inadequate, because only God can take care of some of the problems I'm trying to let my family take care of. While I love my country and I love my family and I do have confidence in my own ability, none of those things are God. I can trust and only trust God. So one of the things 2020 has done has given me the opportunity to grow in faith. That means my trust gets stronger. I grow in faith. 2020 has given me the opportunity, some opportunities to be creative in how I love people, to be a calm voice in the midst of a lot of chaos. Man, a lot of chaos happened. The racial tension in our country this year, the trouble about what to do with COVID, church, to meet, to not to meet, the chaos that's in our country, whether to work, not to work, the chaos in our country. I had the opportunity to be a calm and clear voice of hope and in some ways, peace. One of the things that 2020 has done is given me an opportunity to trust God more. So sometimes I wonder this question. I wonder if I find myself wanting so much to be comfortable. Because one thing 2020 did, it drove us out of our comfort zone. Do I find myself wanting to be so comfortable that heaven is not that big a deal? I want it now, and I want it all. And I'm devising a place for myself to live, knowing that, well, really, Jesus has said he's going to go prepare a place for me to live forever. And so as I look at death, And I look at perhaps an economy that's falling apart, perhaps uncertain future financially. As I look at these things, are these things so fearful to me that I've lost my confidence in God? Because God's promised me some things. He's promised me that he's gone ahead of me to prepare this place in heaven. And so I'm thinking about this, and this is really how we're going to close today. We might close the sermon because the battery dies in just a second, but on the other hand, I want to ask this question and read from Psalm 86. What if my evaluation of the year 2020 was not based on my comfort? It wasn't based on my ability to take care of myself. What if it was based instead on my faith and the opportunity that 2020 gave my faith to grow? I would say one thing all of us have had in the year 2020 is the opportunity for our faith to grow. And isn't that an important year? Kind of like eighth grade for me in Seoul, Korea. 2020 gave my faith the challenge to grow. And I believe in our church, right here at CCC, we've risen to that challenge. I look back at my faith in 2019, and I have a stronger faith today. It's been challenged, but it's stronger today than it was a year ago. 2020 was a really important year. It may not have been my best year, but it was a really important year in my life of faith with God. I want to read this psalm, and we're going to close with the reading of the end of this psalm. Psalm 86. I began a minute ago in verse 11. I'll start there again. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness, and give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love for me. For you have delivered me from the depths. You have delivered me from the realm of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me. A band of ruthless people seek my life. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, you are compassionate and gracious, O God. You are slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant and save the son of the woman who served you before me. That'd be Patsy Strader in this case. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and you have comforted me. Hope you guys have a great week.